Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org.
We're going to find our scripture passage today again in the book of Psalms. So the book of Psalms is this very large book that's kind of right in the middle of our Bibles. If you're in the book of Job, you've got to keep going to the right a little bit. If you're in the book of Proverbs, you need to go to the left just a little bit. And then we're going to find Psalm 23 again this morning. Psalm 23. And then specifically this morning, we're looking at verse 4. So find Psalm 23, verse 4. For those of us who are maybe new with us this morning, or just as a reminder for those of us who've been journeying together, we are spending the first several weeks of 2022 finding our rest here in Psalm 23, where we are learning from David who God is and the richness and the goodness of who God is in relationship with us. And we started right off the bat by looking at that opening phrase, a powerful word where David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is this good, loving shepherd, a knowledgeable shepherd, a skillful shepherd who is able to care for us and provide for us and watch over us and protect us. And with the rest of Psalm 23, then, is really detailing how the Lord is a good shepherd. Well, you talked about how we can find security in the green pastures, no matter what season we're in. How we can rest in the quiet waters that the Lord leads us to. And all of that is to restore our soul. Last week, we talked about these paths of righteousness, really these paths in which we are following and kept safe as we follow God, after God. And after day and again we follow God and live in this relationship with God. It's God's righteousness, then, that is manifested in us. Now, today, we're going to go on to verse 4. And we've got lots of great things to talk about this morning. I'm ready to dive in. I hope you are as well. And so let's spend some time in prayer, and then we'll jump into God's word. Let's pray. God, it is a gift again to stand here before your word. That in the time of worship that we are embracing right now, there's time set aside to read and study and to let these words continue to shape and mold who we are. We again declare that you are our shepherd, we are your sheep. And let the words of Psalm 23 once again sweep over us this morning so that we can continue to know who you are and know who we are in relationship to you. And in the peace and in the joy and in the rest that is, that we can live then as confidence, live with confidence in this world as we continue to witness the hope found in Jesus Christ. We pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. So what we've done throughout this sermon series is we have looked at, and we've read the entire passage, all of Psalm 23, week after week. And what we've done, though, is we've invited all of us here in the worship center and all of you who are at home to read or to say aloud that first phrase, right? The Lord is my shepherd. And then I'll continue on reading the rest of the passage. And what I'd invite you to do, as we've done over the last several weeks, is as you say these words, claim these words. Own these words. Let yourself hear yourself say these powerful words that begin this psalm. Ready to start? Let's begin. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Because of my body's apparent inability to be able to handle running in hot, humid weather, as I've learned over the last couple of years, and some of you know about the stories of that, I have learned that if I want to go for a long run in the summertime, I have to start those runs well before the sun gets up. And that leads to a little bit of a situation. Because I'll start, I have a couple of routes that I take, a couple longer routes where I start here in Waukee and I go up Warrior Lane and then I head east on Hickman along the trail and I'll go almost all the way to the intersection of 128th. And I say almost all the way because before you get to 128th, the trail dives down and then goes under Hickman Road and then goes into the trees that surround Walnut Creek, winding its way back. This is kind of the area where Raccoon River Trail, which is along Hickman, combines with or connects with the Clive Greenbelt Trail. Do you kind of know where I'm at? Here's the situation. Because I've gotten up before the sun gets up, when I go down and run underneath Hickman Road, it is dark. And I'm not just talking dark, it is like super dark. So dark that when I'm running, and I'm going in a south direction, and I'm running this way, I literally cannot see where my foot is hitting the pavement. Which then means that I cannot see who or what might be coming at me, or who or what might be residing underneath the overpass. And it doesn't get any better once you get in the trees. Because when you're running amongst the trees, especially if there's no moonlight and the trees are in full leaf, it is as if there is this thick, suffocating darkness coming all around, and I cannot see my hand in front of my face. It's dark. And because this part of the trail parallels along Walnut Creek, it is not only the darkest part of my run, but it is also the lowest in elevation. And so for those long runs, it is down in the valley of the shadow of death. Now, I don't mean to make light of that statement, right? Because I know that those words have comforted so many countless people in moments of right before death or during death or at a funeral. So I don't wish to make light of that. But what I'm trying to say this morning is that there are some connections between this running experience and these words that are stronger than we might initially think. And so I never put that together, but I thought, you know, then those moments is sort of like this running through the valley of the shadow of death. It's so dark. In my Bible, it says the valley of the shadow of death. Does anybody else's Bible say it that way as well? Maybe you have that? And if we look at a couple of pictures here, I want to show you a couple of pictures. The words make sense why David would say it this way. We've got a couple of pictures here of some caverns and of some valleys in Israel, Palestine here. And if you look at, well, can we go back to one? I just noticed something in that picture. Can we go back? Is that possible? You see way at the bottom of this picture, you see a couple of people down there? You see where they're walking? You can go forward now. What you see here in these pictures is you see a shadow that is coming over, and it's residing over the very bottom part where those people were walking. You know, if you walk through the bottom of a valley, that's the easiest part to walk because it's the flattest part. You don't have to worry about falling down. But what you see is the shadow comes over those areas, and it's the easiest part to walk, but it's also the most dangerous. Because as we said that very first week, if you have a flash flood, where does that water go? Right through the bottom of the valley. If you come up to a predator, where are you going to go? And so not only is it the easiest part to walk, but it is the most dangerous part to walk. And what we have here is just a very simple image of a shadow falling over the valley. It is the image that we can have in our minds when we read these words. When David writes, "The valley of the shadow of death." A very poetic saying. And yet, even though it's so poetic, and even though those words are pretty well known, those words don't quite capture the full meaning of the Hebrew. The valley of the shadow of death is certainly a harrowing enough phrase. But to only consider it as a shadow falling over a valley, falling over land, and to only limit it to a time of death, that's not telling the full story of these words. The Hebrew can also be translated in another way. And maybe some of you had this in your Bibles as well. Other translations say, "the valley of deep darkness," or "the darkest valley." Anybody have some of that in your scriptures? In other words, what he's talking about here, David is referring to this utmost pitch black, suffocating darkness all around. Not just the moment where we face death, though that's included, but the point of these words expands those moments to those times in life that deeply concern us, that are utterly distressing. Those times in life where we feel like darkness is closing in all around and we are not sure where we are going to be able to put our next step. This is what David is referring to here. Those situations that any and all of us have faced or will face in life. Those dark valley situations. They have names. Like the diagnosis. Or the job loss. They have names like the financial crunch. Or the estranged relationship. We experience them sometimes day after day after day, like the general malaise that just falls over us in the season, or we face it each day like the loneliness we experience in the lunchroom, or the rejection that we feel, or the hopelessness that sweeps over us, or, you know, you probably just fill in the blank. What names have you given to it? Those times in life when life was more than hard and more than difficult and more than unbearable, when deep darkness is all around. Now, it fascinates me in this one verse that David writes here is what David says right before he describes the valley of deep darkness. He says, "Even though I walk through." What fascinates me is that there's no debate here. There's no hesitancy here. There's no second guessing here. It's as if there's no other option. We have to walk through this. These moments, these situations of deep darkness must be traversed. Just like if I'm on that training run and I get under Hickman or I get in the trees along Walnut Creek, I've got to keep going. Just like for a sheep and shepherds, if they're moving from one hillside of green pastures and they need to walk through the valley to get to the other side for another green pasture. These places that we have to go through them. There's no stopping. There's no going around. We can't back up. We have to go through the valley of deep darkness. You've been there before? Maybe some of us are there right now. It's hard, isn't it? It's difficult. It may even be scary. Which makes David's next words so interesting. He says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," or the valley of deep darkness, he says, "I will fear no evil." Notice David doesn't say, "I won't be afraid." David doesn't say, "I won't have any fear." Instead, what he says is, "I will fear no evil." As I'm journeying through the valley of deep darkness, evil will not cause me fear. I think that says a couple of things to us. David here doesn't deny having fear. Let's talk about fear just a little bit, right? Fear is real. Fear is an emotion that is real. There's a reason that God gave us the ability to have fear. Fear, what does it do? Fear heightens our senses. Fear makes us all the more aware. Fear keeps us on our toes. It keeps us on edge. It lets us know that something's up. I actually kind of liken this to preaching in just a little sort of a way, because I'll have some people ask me periodically, you know, you've been doing this for 15 and a half years now, 9 years here at Westview, and sometimes they'll come up to me like, do you still get nervous? You know what my answer is? Every single time. It's true. Right there this morning, shaken, nervous. But that's a good thing. Because it keeps me on edge, it keeps me sharp, it keeps me focused, but even more than that, it keeps me dependent on God. Fear is real. Fear is a real thing. It's a real emotion that we have. There's a danger to fear. It's okay to have fear, but there is a danger to it. The danger is when fear paralyzes us. That's why the number one command you'll see over and over and over and over again, over 100 times in Scripture, the number one command in Scripture is, do not be afraid. It's acknowledging there is fear. But do not let fear paralyze us. Because if fear paralyzes us, then we are not able to move forward through the valley. If we come up to that overpass of Hickman Road and stop, and stop before we go through that dark valley, if we stop before the deep darkness, that's called avoidance. Or if we're in the midst of the deep valley, in the dark valley, and we're in the trail and the trees all around, it's suffocating darkness, and we stop right there, that's dangerous. Fear is real. But if fear moves beyond being helpful, it then prevents us from journeying down the path that God has laid out before us, no matter how light or how dark it is. It then stops us from going where God has called us to go and doing what God has called us to do. David doesn't deny having any fear. He says, I will fear no evil. That even though the path is down in the dark valley, that even though the path is in the suffocating darkness, even though we can't see where we're going to put one foot forward down to the next, even though darkness never seems to be ending, even though we don't know what is lurking or what might happen next, David isn't afraid of any evils. He's not afraid of anything that is going to cause him harm. Why is that? I think the answer lies in what is perhaps the second most important phrase in this most powerful psalm. We've been saying since the very beginning of this passage, and since the very beginning of the study, that those first five words are the thing that sets the tone for this whole psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, I think there's another five-word phrase that is just as important now, and it is one that we need to hold on to with an iron grip. For you are with me. Take just a moment and let those words fill this place. Let those words fall upon your ears. Let those words rest upon your heart. For you are with me. There's an enormous shift that has taken place in this moment in the darkest valley. In verse 2, David says this, He makes me. He leads me. Verse 3, He restores my. Verse 3 again, He guides me. But here, something changes. Listen to the change. Feel the significance. You
are with me. He, you. God is no longer the director in the broadcast room directing all the things that are going to happen next. God has joined us on the stage. He's right alongside us. And of all places, David testifies that it's here in the deep darkness. That's where David testifies, you are with me. Someone once said that the darker the journey, the closer God is. And I have to be honest, I don't know if that's technically true. But what it does remind us is that there is no time and no place and nowhere that we will be that God is not already there with us. God is with us. God is close to us in all places, no matter how dark it is. And so we do not go through the deep darkness alone. God is with us. David says, you are with me. I want to invite you here in the worship center. I want you to invite you at home as well. I want you to invite you to say those words with me today. But before we do, I want you to do something else for me. One of the things we often say, or one of the things we often pray, or one of the things we often allude to when we start worship, and rightfully so, is that we say things to the effect like, let's leave all the distractions at the door. Let's take all the thoughts and all the worries of this past week or the worries of the week to come. Let's leave them behind so that in this hour together of worship, we can focus solely on God. Have you heard us say something like that before? Sure. And it's rightfully so. We want to be able to focus solely on God in worship. We don't want those distractions to hinder us. But here's what I'd like you to do today. In this moment right now, I want you to think about what's going on the rest of the day. I want you to think about what you've got coming up this week ahead. I want you to think about what's on the calendar, and maybe, or especially, what's that decision that you've got a little angst about, that you're nervous about, maybe about work or about your personal life, your family's life, or the things that are going on at school. Who's that person that you've got to face tomorrow morning in the office or in the hallway? What's that situation that is causing you some burden or some angst or some sleepless nights? What are those things that are ahead of you in this week ahead? Can everybody just think of that one thing right now or two things or whatever it might be? Can you put that in your mind? Yes? Everybody got that? Now, with those things in mind, now I would like you to say that phrase with me. I'm going to say it, and then you repeat after me. You are with me. Ready? You are with me. Would you say it again, please? You are with me. Let's say it again. You are with me. I've got a decision to make this week, or I've got to address this person. I have a confrontation. But God, say it again with me. You are with me. I've got something that's burdening my heart and making me lose sleep, but I can say to you, God, you are with me. Say it again with me. You are with me. Let me hear you this time. I can't hear you over my voice. Are you ready? You are with me. Now I need you to say it with full conviction. Are you ready? You are with me. David testifies here that God is with him. God is with us. See, David can walk through the valley of deep darkness, and he does not fear any evil because the Lord, his shepherd, is with him, just as God is with us. But David doesn't leave it there. David not only fears no evil, but it says even something else. It says that he's comforted. He's not just not afraid, he's comforted. And he shares here in this verse the reasons for his comfort. And you know what? We've been looking at them all sermon series long. I tell you what, my little heart got such a kick. After the first Sunday of this series, I had a number of kids come up to me like, "What's this? What's this about, Josh? What are you doing with this?" I loved it. And let me just, a little side note here. Kids, I love that you feel comfortable asking me questions like that. I hope you always feel comfortable coming up to me and saying, what's going on? What are you up to? And I hope that you never stop doing that. And I hope you're okay with the fact that I say, you just have to wait. It's going to be a surprise. Well, here we are. All your questions about to be answered. Because David says not only is he walking through the valley of deep darkness, not only is he not afraid, but he's comforted. Why is he comforted? Because what we have here are two tools at the disposal of a shepherd. The first one he mentions is this. This is a shepherd's rod. Shepherd's rod was a club-like piece that was about 2.5 feet long or so. And yeah, honestly, it looked a little bit like a wooden baseball bat, which guess what? It is, but I cut off the end. So it's not a baseball bat anymore. This is a shepherd's rod. The difference between a wooden baseball bat and a shepherd's rod is that the shepherd's rod would actually probably be about 2, maybe even 3 times thicker at the end, so it would just get a little bit bigger. And the thing that a shepherd would do is a shepherd would take little pieces of stone, or if it had any metal, maybe some metal, but especially some ground-up bones, and would stick them into the end of the rod here to make the weapon all the more fierce. Because a rod is for protection. This is something that a shepherd would use to ward off the bears and the lions and the wolves. In fact, in 1 Samuel 17, David is giving his resume to King Saul. And I can take on Goliath because I struck down the bears and I struck down the lions that were trying to steal the sheep. A shepherd's rod was for protection. And so a shepherd's rod, David is referencing the shepherd's rod. He says, the Lord protects his sheep. And by using this here in verse 4, David is declaring that the Lord is our shepherd. He will protect us as we walk through the deep darkness. Shepherd's rod. The other thing that David mentions, of course, is a shepherd's staff. Now, I'm just going to be honest. This is a toy prop. This is not the real deal. I don't know if you could sell that or not, but it's not the real deal. This is a shepherd's staff. But it's a toy prop. A shepherd's staff would probably have been maybe a little longer than this. It's probably like 3.5 feet tall or so, 3 feet, I don't know. But it's probably closer to about 5 feet tall or so. And a shepherd's staff was all about guidance. A shepherd would use it as a walking stick most often. But if the flock was starting to get off course, all it had to do was tap, 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 and get the flock back on course. Another thing that the shepherd's staff could be used for, and you know, a shepherd's staff is most recognizable because of this crook, right? This little hook at the end. You know, if one little sheep decides, I'm going to go my own way, all the shepherd had to do was turn the staff around. This is a pretty narrow one, probably was a little wider, and he would just go around the neck, nope, over here, please, and bring the sheep back into the fold. A shepherd's staff is all about guidance. It's all about direction. And so what David is referring to here, he's got a shepherd's staff. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And so by mentioning these two tools of the shepherd, David is naming that God's presence in the deep darkness, that it means that God defends and directs. God points and God protects. To the effect that David is walking through the valley of deep darkness, and not only does he not fear evil, he's comforted. And I trust the promise of God's guidance and of God's protection gives us the same abiding peace as well. I tell you what, I don't know if we can search the scriptures and find another verse that provides more comfort than this one. Which is why it is so treasured, especially in those hard moments of life. But not just in the moments of life and death, but any of those moments that we've named, any of those situations, whether it's literal or figurative darkness, I trust that whatever path we are on, whatever we are journeying through, wherever those runs are taking us, that we can indeed take great comfort from Psalm 23, verse 4. Let me leave you with this. After the very first sermon we preached on this series, I personally was extremely blessed because Rob Jubert came up to me and he shared with me that the 23rd Psalm is the Psalm of the Marines. Rob, as some of you know, is a retired Marine. And later we had an opportunity to talk and he shared more about the importance of this Psalm for him and for his fellow soldiers. He told me about how every night after a prayer meeting, that no matter what the prayers were about, no matter what the topic was about, that he and the others in the group, they would recite this psalm every night. And how these words were embedded upon their hearts in boot camp. And then how these words, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, how they became reality while on deployment. Rob talked about how the mental preparation and how the spiritual impact of these words have on a soldier. A soldier who knows they are walking into a literal valley of a shadow of death. And how vital these words are when you hear words like, God, you are with me. And how those words can comfort and how they can fear no evil even in the face of evil. You know, most of us in this room, most of us online, will never experience the valley of deep darkness like a soldier where it literally becomes the valley of the shadow of death. And yet the same words that these soldiers cling to, they are given to you and to me as we navigate through our own journeys and through our own situations. And in those moments, this verse assures you and me, God is with us. He protects us. He guides us. And so do not let fear paralyze us. Forge forward into and through our valleys of deep darkness. Psalm 23, verse 4. Amen. Pray with me, please. God, we have just been declaring from the opening moments of this worship service, in this scripture passage, and now in this very breath, we are declaring, we are proclaiming that you are here, you are present with us. Your presence in our lives as we walk through the valleys and we walk over the mountains, as we experience joys and heartaches, as we experience victories and discouragements, in and through all things, your presence is a place of rest for us, a place of comfort, a place of peace, a place of hope. God, we just simply praise you today that you are a God who is intimately involved in your creation. You didn't just wind up this world and watch and wait to see what happens, but you are with us. You guide and you guard, you defend and you direct. As a loving shepherd caring for us, your sheep, you demonstrate love and care, compassion and grace, truth and justice, mercy and faithfulness. God, we thank you that you thank you for being our faithful God. And now knowing that you are indeed this kind of shepherd, and we are indeed your sheep, we are your congregation under your care, we pray to you with one voice. We pray for John. We pray for Irvin as they recover from surgery. Would you give healing and wholeness, we ask. We pray for Gail, who will have surgery in a couple of weeks. We pray for many who are sick and ill this day, particularly as we continue to navigate through this pandemic. We pray this morning for the wisdom of our local, state, national, world leaders. We pray for leaders here in the church, both at Westview, but also the church around the world. We pray for knowledge and courage to seek your will and to faithfully lead to it. We pray for those things that we thought about earlier this morning, those things that are happening yet today, those things that are happening yet this week, those things that are weighing heavy on us. We named them. They're on our hearts again now. They're on our minds again now. We pray that those five words of our refrain will see us through. You, for you are with us. God, we are so grateful again today as the psalm testifies you are our shepherd. And may we continue to follow your paths of righteousness, witnessing always to the good news found in our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. We pray all this in his holy name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.